Good morning, family. What a joy to be together. Breathe in. Breathe out. There's a lot that happens when you do that. You actually wake up brain cells. You get more oxygen in your blood, and all kinds of organs in your body say, oh, great, I can do more right now. And so that's a powerful thing to do during any time in your day where you want to sit up and pay attention. Now I've caused some of you to yawn. But that's what yawning is about, is that extra oxygen to perk you up. But it's also attitudinal that we wanna be here. It's a participation of life. In Christ, we can live. Every day, we live. We have purpose. Thank you. We have direction. We have strength. We don't shuffle through our lives, or at least we're not supposed to. We're not to shuffle through our lives. Well, I'm going to get up, got to get dressed, got to go somewhere. No, we live. We live. And it's a joy to be together. And it's a joy to be anywhere in Christ. A couple of things to show you just quick before we get into to the lesson. News from our brothers and sisters in the state of Alaska. This is the front page of the Kodiak Daily Mirror. And that guy with the baseball cap is our brother, Brandon Aarons. Now, in case you look at him and you go, yeah, that picture is several years old. That is not a photograph of him sitting with the congregation in Kodiak. That is a photograph of him sitting with a group of Mexican children when he was working in Mexico. So in some of his other mission work and training. But what that has, that's a cover story all about Brandon in the Kodiak newspaper. And I've got copies. You have to get a subscription to read the article. So if you want to read the article, and I'm glad to pay for a subscription to a newspaper that'll highlight one of our brothers in a very positive way. They don't get all the details right. I mean, it is Church of Christ pastor finds joy in serving. It's right under that. You can't read the very small print, but the small print says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." That's on the front page of the Kodiak Daily Mirror on the 11th of February. And it highlights Brandon and his service, and it's pretty cool. The other huge news this past week is that our sister, Jessica Cook, was asked to run for lieutenant governor. Yeah, wow. That is a huge deal for us. This is not an endorsement. This is not an endorsement. I don't do political endorsements. And I'm not supposed to, right? I'm not supposed to as a minister. I mean, we are a tax-exempt group, but that has nothing to do with why I wouldn't give a political endorsement. Tax status between us and the federal government has nothing to do. We trust the Lord in these things, and we give, and he is the one who takes care of our leadership, and he is sovereign, and we give it all to him. That's why I don't do it, because I'm not smart enough to endorse or not endorse anybody. But this is our sister, and she needs our prayers. We want her to shine the light of Christ. She needs strength. She needs wisdom. And we want God to be glorified with whatever the election result is. But that is a huge deal for us, that our sister, our own sister, has been asked and is, talk about Brandon being on the front page of the Kodiak paper. Jessica is going to be on the front page of every newspaper in Alaska. So that's a big deal, and pray for her. For those of you who don't know, Jessica's husband, Ed, is fighting, has been fighting an aggressive cancer for years. He's doing all right, But that's why we haven't seen them very much. They are very, very susceptible to infections. Ed's immune system has been very weakened at times. And so in this world, they have been staying home. So they love you, and they called us to make sure that you all heard the news about this. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the God that you are. Thank you for this morning and the beauty and the power of giving us purpose in Christ. Father, we thank you for the things we've been able to participate in, singing and praying and scripture reading. Thank you for the Lord's Supper and brothers like Randy to bring us such a clear and poignant messages. Father, being purposed in you is so amazing. All to your glory, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. So I already can tell I'm not going to be able to finish this lesson, so we'll just go through the lesson as far as we can and wrap it up, and maybe I'll finish it next time. The little things. The little things end up being powerful and important in Christ. And when I say that, my thinking in that the point is a million miles away from legalism. That if you follow the rules, even the little rules, you'll be a good Christian. That's not the point. We do that, but we don't do right doing that. When I grew up, you had to wear a jacket and tie to go to church. You had to show up on time. You had to go to church, right? You had to go. Nobody taught me that we are the church. I was always told you have to go to church, and you have to be there every Sunday to be a good Christian, and that's legalism. We gather with the body out of love for one another and love for Christ and God, not because we're told to, or to make ourselves right with God. That's legalism. We obey God out of love for him. The little things end up being important because God raises them up and makes them powerful. Jesus said in Luke 16, this is at the end of a kind of an interesting parable, which we won't get into in this lesson, about a servant who mishandles, if you will, selfishly handles his master's money. But Jesus makes this point at the end of the parable. He who is faithful in a very little thing is also faithful in much. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And the principle is clear. If you're honest with a dollar bill, you'd be honest with a $100 bill. If you're honest borrowing a book of mine, or I borrow a book of yours, then you'd be honest watching my house for the weekend or me watching your property for the week. You show your trust and your character in the little things you do. And that has a lot of ramifications. That has a lot of ripples to it. Jesus says the opposite in the very next words. Unfortunately, because if it's true about doing right, it is true about doing wrong. He who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. He who is unrighteous in a very little thing. So then when the clerk gives us 50 cents too much in change, we stop halfway to the car and go, oh, that was wrong, and we turn around and go back in. Not, well, it's a big store, what difference does it make? I know they're automated these days and don't make many mistakes in that area, but if you'll steal 50 cents, stop yourself. Fix that, and then go have a talk with your Heavenly Father. Lord, what is it in me that I don't even consider honesty and care with a little thing to be important? Jesus warns us, pay attention to the little things. So, what are the little things? Well, let's read those verses in more context, if you don't mind. I know this is small print, but this is Luke 16, 10 through 13. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much, and he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, he's talking about our money, if you've not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you with true riches? And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. So this is ends up being what, a little bit of what Randy said about worldly wealth versus God's riches. How we handle the things that we have now, how our generosity affects us now, how our selfness, selfishness, self-protection, whatever it might be, what do we do with the things we have that God can bless us with more? So, what are little things? Well, this is a truism that I'm going to give you. Little things lead to big things, okay? And I'm going to talk about inside of us. And this is true regardless of faith. This is true regardless. This is just true about humans. That thoughts, if you start with the littlest thing you have, which is a thought, thoughts lead to ideas. You string them together and you get an idea. Ideas lead to communication, connection. I'll just use the word words. Words leads to actions. Words lead to actions. Actions lead to habits. Habits lead to character. And character leads to life. If you want to change your life, go back to your thoughts. Go back to the way you think. That's why people get good at being angry and walk around kind of irritated, because they develop and practice and keep that loop going. The thought, I've been wronged. That's not fair. What about me? If that's what you're feeding yourself, the ideas and the words and the actions and the character are going to come out of that. If you feed yourself with gratitude, just as a counterexample, wow, like Randy was saying, I have everything I need. God is awesome. You feed yourself there, you'll have a different life. So, little things lead to big things. Don't skip the little things. But in Christ, it works the other way. Big things lead little things. And this is what I mean. And all of these have scriptures to them, even though I haven't listed the scriptures on this slide. You start with life. What is my point? What is the purpose? Why am I here? And I'm here because of Christ. Christ is my life. And life from him means I will be like him. The character, in other words, you establish life first. And then you say, well, what does that mean? Well, it means that you're like Christ. So the next thing you grab hold of is the character of Jesus himself. So in fact, life and character lead the way. And character, the actions of the character of Christ is agape, is love, active caring love, because he did. That's what he did. So that's what I do. Where are my thoughts? That's hard. I don't know about this. My thoughts aren't quite aligned. I don't understand everything that Christ did. My goodness, I don't understand all the things that Christ did and said. But I know who he is, and I'm going to be active in love, serving love like he was. And Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my word. So the actions of love toward Christ and toward others has us in his word. So word follows character, etc. And the word leads to a new way of thinking because God says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. So our very ideas need correction. Just park yourself there. Just assume that you've been well-trained by the world and you have to challenge every thought you have because the world is so good at teaching us how to be selfish, how to be self-centered, how to feed ourselves, how to justify ourselves, etc., etc. We need to think differently. And that comes from, and the scripture says, take captive every thought. So the last slide we just looked at is true. That is true. You establish your thoughts, you will eventually establish your character in life. But in Christ, you can turn the whole thing upside down. And based on a decision, I'm going to follow Christ, then you end up years down the road saying, take captive every thought. That's selfish. No, that's bitter. I am not going to have any bitterness park itself in my brain and hang around. Christ, help me with this. God, clear me of bitter, selfish, angry thoughts. So Jesus gives us a different way to handle this. We still haven't talked about what little things are very much. So Jesus showed power and importance of little things. Caring for others. Whoever gives a cup of water to drink, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because of your name as followers of Christ, truly I say to you, he will not lose his reward. Now I looked at that picture and I thought, well, that's a very rich background in that picture. So I thought maybe it'd be better to look like this, more in the context of what Jesus said these words, of how valuable a cup of water was. However, he's making a point because it is just a cup of water. It is a little thing. For whoever gives you a cup of water because of your name as followers of Christ, truly I say to you, he will not lose his reward. Somebody who honors your faith and cares for you has a reward from God. That a cup of water makes a difference. A piece of kindness is powerful for God and from God, with God, in our hands as recipient and in our hands as servant. A cup of water matters. So when Jesus talks about the little things, he includes little things, just little things. We know that the boy at the 5,000 crowd, in the crowd of 5,000, one boy was willing to serve his one little lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's not much. That's a little thing. And obviously, famously, God transitioned the day. Randy mentioned the woman with the 2 mites, the 2 little coins, who gave more than anybody, everybody else. Literally, little things in God's hands. And story after story after story about people using little things in scriptures. Little things are still important alongside really big things. We said caring for others, but obedience to God's word. Look at Matthew 23. This is part of Jesus' rebuke to the scribes and the Pharisees. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, or cumin, I guess some pronunciations have it, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. How'd you spice your dinner last night? Apparently, in the details, and obviously we know this, but in the details of taking 10% of all that you're blessed with, they were good at taking 10% of every little satchel of spice. You brought a spice home and you opened up the little drawstring and laid it out and you took 90% of it. Well, that's for you to use, and 10% of it goes to the temple. You're good about dividing 10% of your mint while you spit when you walk past your neighbor's house. Justice, mercy, faithfulness. Jesus is saying, where are those? And then he says, but don't stop doing the other. Don't stop doing the other. Don't neglect the details of how you listen and obey and love and serve God. You're swallowing camels, man. You see, some people take the details of Christian walk and say, well, God just wants us to love people, so that's what I'm doing. Well, that's not all we do. I mean, it is all we do, but it's not all we do, right? We take these as justifications, and we take whatever justice, mercy, faithfulness we think is important, and we list that up, and that's what I'm going to do. And all the rest of the things about that are taught to the church or taught from Christ, well, you know, that's just being legalistic. Some people think you ought to show up every Sunday to go in church. Well, that's because they don't understand the relationship of the body. People get irritated over all sorts of ideas. Reorganize the way churches are led. Reorganize the way the Bible is taught. Separate out pieces of the Bible as not important or as not true or not accurate. We don't stand in a place where we can say which part of God's teaching through Christ that we're to obey. We're supposed to be people of justice who are angry when things are unjust. We're supposed to be merciful, filled with mercy. We're supposed to be faithful to God and to one another and His word. And we don't neglect the little things. So, caring for others, obedience to God's detail, and words. Words. Now, I put faith, kindness, and encouragement, but let's turn to James chapter 4. This is a very interesting verse. Words. Words. God teaches us that words matter because words come from thoughts. They come from ideas. Out of the mouth, what speaks? The heart speaks. Out of our mouth, our heart speaks. Out of our mouth, our heart speaks. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. And we've heard this among the most egregious ways we've heard this is, I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes, you know, Lord willing and the creek don't rise. I'll be over tomorrow night, Lord willing and the creek don't rise. And that's way too flippant for me. I don't think that's what this is talking about. What is this talking about? This is literally talking about what you should say and what you shouldn't say. But why? What is it establishing in our lives? It's establishing that God leads. God is sovereign. It's an establishing a point of faith, and it's establishing it in every thought. It's not improper to say, if God is willing, I'm going to the store this afternoon. As God wants, I'll be over this week. If the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. It's an attitude, and without it, without that reminder to our brains, we begin to think something really improper. We begin to think that we're in charge of our lives. We begin to think that we have power and effective planning, and we are self-directed. And God says, no. That's not the way I want you to think. I want you walking down my pathway for you. If God wills, I'll be alive tomorrow, and I'll rejoice in that. It's not a heavy thought. But it's so odd that a piece of scripture stops us in this planning cycle and say, no, time out. Nice ideas you have, but you're leaving out a critical step. You don't want your business to go anywhere if it's not God's will. You want your relationship with your husband to be completely in God's hands and his will. You want your relationship with your wife completely in his hands. You don't want to marry a man who doesn't think this way. You don't want to marry a woman who isn't driven by God's will in her life. Don't even start down a relationship unless you see somebody who is faith-driven. And that's what this is about. God leads me. And I don't want any day of mine to be led by me and not him. If the Lord's wills, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. Now I have another part of words. But looking at the time and knowing that she's halfway down my list, we'll talk about the little things, the continuation of the discussion on, quote, the little things that aren't so little because they're in God's hands. Our God is an awesome God, and he tells us, do the little things that show Christ. Pay attention to the little things that develop your thoughts. Follow the little things. Serve in the little ways. Accept the little things in glory to God. We want to be people who pay attention, who have our eyes open. You can walk into any of our stores, any of our schools, any of our parts of our community, and see people and bring little powerful things into their lives because of who we follow. Thank you for your love and attention in this matter. I pray that anybody here who has not been baptized into Christ, that's a huge thing. But it starts with a little thing. It starts with a, can we talk? I want to understand the word. I want to follow Christ. Let's talk. If any here are ready to be baptized into Christ, the baptistry is ready. We can do that right now. If anybody wants to study, to know what it means to follow Christ, to be found in him, we can sit down today and study. Don't let today go by without taking a step in that direction. But whatever your need is, please come forward and let us know. We can pray for you or serve you while we stand and sing. The song has been selected.